I told my family this morning how good I thought the Freeman family sounded, and I'm going to say publicly tonight how good the Short family sounded. It's just, it's something to watch them just, I don't know the word, but become the singer. They've always had talent, but to see God groom that talent and get to where they are today, it's just amazing to watch the Freeman family this morning and the Short family. But there is a common denominator. Yeah. Brandon didn't sing with his family this morning, and BJ didn't sing with his tonight. So I don't know if it's their talents being groomed or they found out the weakness and they got rid of it, but either way, they both sounded great. And so it is. It's a blessing to see families just serve the Lord and grow in that capacity. And seeing Toria play the piano and sing tonight, that's not easy. I can't do it, but I've even heard from people that do it. It's very difficult to do, and so that's excellent. I want to say a couple things before I get started, and I will get into my message. I do realize we've got the Lord's table tonight, but I want to say this. Brother Philip brought it to my attention last week, and I think it's a good point. He said that I didn't have to worry about how long I preached this week because y'all preached a lot longer message last week than I did. And so y'all always give me a hard time about my messages, but I mean, we got out of church almost 8:30 last week, and I didn't preach. You did. And so you can't say a word, right? And then Brother Allen come up to me after church last week, and he said, "Brother David, that's the best message I never heard you preach." So I appreciate that. That was the best message Brother Allen ever heard me preach last Sunday night. And so, but anyway, I am going to try to preach tonight what I began to preach last week, and I honestly, the Spirit of God wouldn't allow me, and I'm glad that he didn't. I was getting ready to try to push through, and I could just sense that God was saying don't, and so I'm glad that I stopped. And so I'm going to try to preach that this week, and I'm going to try to get through it pretty quickly. I started a series 2 weeks ago on acting like a Christian, and as Pastor said, I knew there was something else I wanted to say. Pastor mentioned that about the Olympics, and I agree with that, what he said. But I will say this, I saw a missionary that's in France made a post on, I think it was on Facebook or Twitter or somewhere, and something that he said, it really challenged me, but it was about the fact that we get angry, and we should, at what was done and what's going on, but he said we need to get a burden. The Western civilization needs Jesus. Europe is in darkness. And this guy's been in France, I can't remember how many years, but he said the population of France, the percentage of the population of France that is a Christian would be equivalent to the population of North Carolina in the United States. And so France is not a Christian nation. And at one time, God was moving in a mighty way in Europe, and the gospel has, the light has about went out in European nations, and I think it's going out in our nation. And it should burden us. It ought to anger us. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But it ought to burden us to the fact that the world needs the gospel. And we need to do everything we can. I believe we do here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and I praise the Lord for that, to get it to them. But they don't know Jesus, and that's the facts. And so I pray that some people will go and tell them. All right, we're going to look at acting like a Christian. And if you'll recall, 2 weeks ago, I started this series, and I was talking about, when I say act like a Christian, I'm playing on the word from the book of Acts, because I'm going to use that to spring into some messages that we're going to preach. And one of my messages I'm using, if you haven't figured it out yet, last time I preached 2 weeks ago, was I said they were saved first, right? That was my first message. They were saved first. And then last Sunday night, I mentioned that I was going to be preaching on they were spirit-filled. And so if you know me as a preacher, you know there's a pattern beginning here. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about they stood firm. And as the pastor was saying, we need to stand firm. That's what Christians do. That's what the Christians in the book of Acts did. That's what Christians down through church history have done. And that's what Christians in 2024 need to do. Stand firm. And so we'll look at that in a couple of weeks. But I believe in order to do all these things that we're going to look at over the next couple of weeks that I believe these Christians in the book of Acts did, I think there's two foundational principles that we have to start with. And we started with one 2 weeks ago, and that was they were saved first. See, we'll never act like a Christian. When I say act, I don't mean to play a part or play a role as someone that's performing. I'm talking about someone that's being what they are. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, he said, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Paul said, let your lifestyle be in line with the gospel of Christ. Let your life line up with what you are. Act like what you are. You're a Christian. And Paul was saying, you should act like it, right? But if we're going to truly act like a Christian, we've got to be saved first, right? You can't get goats to act like sheep. They've got to be saved, right? Now, they'll try for a while, but eventually their horns will start to show, right? Their nature will begin to show. But so you can't get a goat to act like a sheep. You've got to be saved first. But I believe right after that, one of the most important things of this acting like a Christian is being spirit-filled. It is foundational to everything else that we will look at over the next couple of weeks. We're going to look at some things about the early church and the book of Acts and how that they did act like Christians, why these people called them Christians, why they said they were called first Christians. Why were they called Christians? It was because of the way they act. It was because of the way that they lived that these people called them Christian. As Pastor said, it was not a compliment, but it was calling them that because of how they were living their lives. And so, but in order to do that, I believe it's important that we're spirit-filled. So I want to talk to you tonight about being spirit-filled. I had some verses of Scripture that I wanted to share with you. I want to read a couple verses. I won't have you turn there for sake of time. But in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 1, in verse number 8, you know that verse. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Right? So he said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. Right? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter number 4, verse number 8, it says, then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter number 4, it mentions the disciples being filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter number 6, it says Stephen was a man full of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 9, it says that the Apostle Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 11, it says that Barnabas was filled with the Holy Ghost. Again, in Acts chapter 11, it says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And so, if you read through the book of Acts, something that you're going to find over and over again is that these people were spirit-filled Christians. And it says it numerous times, but it shows it or alludes to it many other times. And so, in order to be a real, genuine Christian and to live a life that lines up with what we are, I believe it's important that we are spirit-filled. And so, I want to talk to you tonight about being spirit-filled. Now, as I get into this message, I realize who I'm preaching to tonight. You've heard so many messages on the filling of the Spirit of God, being full of the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit of God. And so I'm not going to tell you anything that you probably have never heard before. I seriously doubt that there's many in here tonight, if any, that will learn anything new tonight. But I hope that I will remind you of some things that you already know. It is very important for a Christian to be spirit-filled. God has really been dealing with me about this thought. I wanted to preach it last week. Maybe God wanted me to dwell on it another week. Because all this week I was trying my best, and I was thinking about and meditating on this thought of being spirit-filled. It's so important in the Christian life. And so I want to use an outline tonight. I'm actually going to use the outline in case you got a good memory. You probably don't, but if you're like me. But if you've got a good memory, I'm going to use the same outline that I used 2 weeks ago when I talked about being saved first. I don't think I'll do that throughout this sermon series, but as I was preparing this message, it just fit right in. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to go with it. And if you'll recall, I talked about the meaning of being saved first, right? Well, tonight I want to talk about the meaning of being spirit-filled. What exactly does that mean? What does it mean to be spirit-filled? We hear people talk about being filled with the Spirit. You know, if we're not careful, and especially some of you young people, I want you to really listen up, because I've probably even been guilty of this myself in some ways. We talk about being filled with the Spirit, and if we're not careful, we just kind of get this mindset or this illusion of it's like having something poured in a cup. If I were to bring a cup of water up here and I were to pour water into it and I were to fill it up with water, that would be being filled up. And what that would insinuate is that you could get more of the Holy Spirit, and that's not so. Okay? So I don't want you to get that illusion tonight when I say being filled with the Spirit. I'm not talking about you getting more of the Holy Spirit. See, when you got saved, and I'm going to try my best. I come in this tonight knowing we could preach. I could, pastor could, many men in here could probably preach for weeks or months on the topic, on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not trying to give you some doctrinal, thesis on the Holy Spirit tonight. That's not my goal. I'm not going to get into all of that, but I think that you understand, most of us understand, that when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit inside of you. And the Holy Spirit is an individual. He is a person. He is a part of the Godhead. And when the Holy Spirit is talked about in the Bible, He is mentioned in that way. He, the Holy Spirit, a person. And you don't get part of a person, right? You get a whole person. When I married my wife, I didn't get part of her. I got all of her, right? She's my wife, right? And when you get the Holy Spirit, you don't get part of the Holy Spirit. You get all of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm not talking about getting more of the Holy Spirit. You got all the Holy Spirit you're going to get when you got saved. And I don't want to get into the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all that doctrinal stuff about the Holy Spirit. But I know this. The Bible says if you have not the Spirit of Christ, I think it's Romans chapter number 8, is it chapter 8, verse number 9 maybe, says if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. So when you got saved, you got the Spirit of Christ to dwell in you. And if you don't have the Spirit, the Bible says you're none of His. And so when we got saved, we got the Holy Spirit. We got all of the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get. And so that's not what it means to be filled with the Spirit. It's not to get more of the Holy Spirit. So what does being filled with the Spirit mean? Well, the best definition I could come up with, and I looked at many different definitions of being filled with the Holy Spirit, but it literally means to be controlled, to be covered, to be consumed by. The word, if you look it up in a Strong's Concordance, the Greek word has to do with a completeness. It is to be completely controlled. It's to be completely consumed. It is to be completely covered by the Holy Spirit of God. I'll give you some verses here in the book of Acts. Where are you at? Acts chapter 11. Turn over to Acts chapter 13. I'll read some other verses. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 17, it says that they were filled with indignation. If you look that word filled up in the Greek, it's the same exact word. They were filled with indignation. If you look up Acts chapter 5 and verse number 28, it says that they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine, with their teaching. It means they had covered it. They had consumed it. They had went. It's kind of like I was thinking about this when something big happens. A couple weeks ago when President Trump was shot, the news was filled with it. Right? I'll give you a better example. When we had COVID 4 years ago, the news was filled with it. It was consuming our news stations. It was controlling our lives, right? We were just being filled with that information, right? And so they had filled Jerusalem. They had covered it. They had consumed it. Look at Acts chapter 13. Look in verse number 45. It says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, look at it, they were filled with envy. It doesn't mean they were getting more and more envy. No, it means that they were controlled by that envy. They were consumed by that envy. They were being covered by that envy. Look at verse number 52. I mentioned this in my introduction. It says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They were consumed with joy. You know, I got a little bit of that last Sunday night. I don't know about you, but I was sitting up here last Sunday night, and I was being filled with joy. God was just filling me. I was just being consumed with joy and consumed with God and the goodness of God in my life and with the goodness of God in some of your lives. And so when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, I want you to think about it like that. I want you to think about it as if somebody is pouring more of the Holy Spirit into you. That's not what it's talking about. You've got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. It's talking about the Holy Spirit controlling you. It's talking about the Holy Spirit consuming you. It's talking about the Holy Spirit completely covering your life, right? Can I ask you tonight, what's consuming you? What controls you? What is it that is driving your life? One man said this. He said, it's not about whether he resides. It's about whether he presides. I thought that was good. See, he resides. The Holy Spirit, if you're saved tonight, the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago, saved first. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit resides in you. The question is, does he preside? Is he on the throne? You say, Holy Spirit dwells, but does he direct? You have him. You've heard it said this way before. You have him. Does he have you? What's in control of your life tonight? What's in control of my life tonight? See, we're never going to act like a Christian. I'm convinced tonight that the reason that our world is in the condition it's in, the reason our country's in the condition it is, the reason our churches are in the condition they are is because we are not being filled with the Spirit. We are not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're being controlled by money. We're being controlled by lust. We're being controlled by popularity. We're being controlled by things. We're being controlled by our job. We might be, some men are being controlled by their wife or their children. There's people being controlled by all kinds of different things. But I'm asking you tonight, are we being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God? Because if the church is going to be effective, if Christianity is going to have the effect that it's supposed to have on this world in which we're living, we have got to be controlled by God's Spirit. We've got to be consumed by the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk to you tonight about being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Can I tell you, that's a command. That's not a suggestion. If I were to ask you tonight, is it a sin to be drunk with wine? I would get 100% yes in this auditorium. If I were to ask you, is it a sin to be drunk with wine? Even folks that we don't believe in, we believe in abstinence from wine here as a church. Now, there's churches that don't believe in abstinence from wine. They think it's okay to have a little bit of wine. But even in those churches, they would agree that it's sinful to be drunk with wine, to be controlled by wine, to be consumed with wine. And that's what Paul's saying in Ephesians chapter 5. He's saying, don't be controlled by wine. Don't be consumed by wine, but be consumed, be filled, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So if it's wrong to be drunk with wine, can I tell you, it's wrong to not be filled with the Spirit. That's what he's saying. Just as wrong as it is to not be drunk with wine, that's a command. Be not drunk with wine. Can I tell you, but be filled with the Spirit, that's a command too. It's just as wrong for a Christian to not be filled with the Spirit as it is for someone to be drunk with wine. We don't like to hear it that way, but it's so. God has commanded us, as Christians, be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm afraid that we have in our churches, I thank God not in this church, but in many churches, we have began to veer away from teaching and talking about the Holy Spirit of God because it's become some mystical thing. We think that if somebody gets filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that they're gonna speak in an unknown tongue, or they're gonna do some other thing, or they're gonna do all this other stuff. And we've made being filled with the Spirit of God something that it's not. Spirit-filled living is for every day of our life. Can I tell you, I need to be filled with the Spirit when I go to work tomorrow. This week, God has reminded me over the last 2 weeks as I've been preparing this message how important it is for me to, if I'm going to be the husband I need to be Spirit-filled. If I'm going to be the father that I need to be Spirit-filled. If I'm going to be the son that I need to be, I need to be Spirit-filled. If I'm going to be the friend that I need to be to my friends, I need to be Spirit-filled. If I'm going to be the employer that I need to be to my employees, I need to be Spirit-filled. If I'm going to be the church member that I need to be Spirit-filled. See, we need God's filling every day of our lives, in every aspect of our lives. There are moms here that, you know what you need more than anything? You need to be Spirit-filled. Moms really need to be Spirit-filled. Dealing with children. When I stay home with my children, I need to be Spirit-filled. Because if not, you'll be filled with something. Right? There's moms that need to be Spirit-filled. We all need to be spirit-filled. Christians need to be spirit-filled. We need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So we see the marks of, we see the meaning of being spirit-filled. Number two, I want to look at the method of being spirit-filled. You say, how do I get spirit-filled, Brother David? How do I do it? Well, go to Acts chapter number 4 real quick. Acts chapter 4. I told you, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know. I'm reminding you of some things tonight, okay? I'm just reminding you of how important it is to be spirit-filled. Acts chapter number 4, look at verse number 31. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So you say, how do I get filled with the Spirit, Brother David? Well, I'm going to give you three quick ways that I believe we could be Spirit-filled. And I believe I'm getting them right from the Bible. Number one, we need to pray. We need to pray. Luke chapter 13, I won't have you turn there. Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says this. Listen to me. If ye then, we heard this analogy this morning about chastisement. It talked about how if you were chastised by your earthly father and used that analogy of our heavenly father. Well, here it is again. Jesus is using it in Luke chapter number 11. And he says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If we're willing to give good gifts to our children, if we're willing to give our children things that we know are good for them, right? Good things, not everything they want's good for them. Amen? Not everything they want's good for them. I need to say that again, right? But if we're willing to give them things that are good for them because we're a good parent, can I tell you how much more is your Heavenly Father a good Father, and He'll give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? That's what Jesus said. And so I say, number one, we need to pray. You know the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 19, Paul in his prayer asked that those Ephesians might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul said, God, fill them with all the fullness of God. Can I ask you, when was the last time you prayed and asked God to fill you with His Holy Spirit? When was the last time? I hope it was today. If it wasn't, I hope it will be tomorrow. God has been really reminding me of the point. I thought about this. You know, a lot of times when I'm going to be preaching, I'll beg God. God, fill me with your Spirit. God, control me. God, consume me. God, I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, God, how I need you to lead me and to control me and to consume me, God, so that I preach your word. Where is that fervency when I go to work tomorrow? Where is that fervency about raising and rearing my children? I don't know about you, but in preaching the gospel, preaching to you on a Sunday night is important to me, and therefore I pray, God, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. But if I'm completely transparent with you tonight, me preaching to you on a Sunday night is not important to me. It's me rearing my children right and that they turn out for God. And so why would I not pray every day, God, consume me, control me, fill me with your Spirit so that I can be the father I need to be today? God, I need to be filled with your Spirit so that I can go to work today and I'll be the witness that I need to be today. God, I need your Holy Spirit. I need you to fill me. I'm afraid sometimes we only ask God to fill us for the big things. We got a meeting with someone that we've been thinking about, and we know we're going to try to witness to them, and we're going to talk to that friend or that family member or that coworker, and we'll pray, oh God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk to them today, God. I'm going to witness to them today, God. I really need your help today, God. But can I ask you, why don't we do that every day? Every day we ought to wake up with a fervency in our heart. God, I need you today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, help me. We're leaky vessels, brethren. See, that word be filled, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, but be filled with the Spirit. It means, but be ye being filled with the Spirit continuously. It's a continuous action. There's some people that say, oh, when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's a one and done deal. I don't believe it, because I'll tell you this. I can show you numerous times where Peter got filled with the Holy Spirit. I can show you more than one time where some of the disciples got filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one and done deal. It's a continuous thing. We need to be continuously filled with the Spirit of God. And so number one, we need to ask. We need to pray. Right? Number two, we need to obey. You say, how am I going to be filled with the Spirit, Brother? Well, you need to ask God. You need to pray. And then number two, you need to obey. You know, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus told his disciples, I'm not going to have you turn there, but in Acts chapter 1, Jesus told his disciples, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the coming. You know, if the disciples wouldn't have done what Jesus said, they would have missed it. If they would not have obeyed what Jesus said, then they would not have been there when the Holy Spirit came. And we could go through over and over and over again in the book of Acts. I thought about Acts chapter number 9. If we were to turn there real quick, Acts chapter number 9, you're real close. Look at Acts chapter number 9. Paul asked the Lord after he got saved. He said, in verse number 6, he said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Can I tell you, if Paul wouldn't have went into the city, if Paul would not have done what God said do, things would not have turned out the way they turned out. You want to be filled with the Spirit? I know I do. We got to obey. We got to do what God says do. Paul, he said, Paul, go into the city. Look at verse 9 says, and he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat or drink. You know, Paul was there for 3 days. Maybe in those 3 days, Paul started thinking, you know what? He told me to come into the city. Maybe he meant a different city. Maybe I didn't hear him right. You know, I've been waiting long enough. I'm not going to stay. He didn't do that. He did exactly what God told him to do. In verse number 10, it says, and there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. How about that? Paul's praying. What do you think he was praying for? I don't know. He might have prayed, God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't know. Lord, what would thou have me to do? God, I need you. He said he prayeth. Verse 12 said, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he may receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And then verse 17 says, and Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way which thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight, look at it, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, if Paul wouldn't have done what Jesus said do, I don't think he would have got filled with the Holy Ghost. And we could go on and on with examples of how that if we're going to be Spirit-filled, we've got to obey God. You know, Colossians chapter number 3, if you were to go to Colossians chapter 3, turn to Colossians 3 if you would. Colossians chapter number 3. If you read Ephesians chapter 5, we may turn there here in a moment to close the message. Colossians chapter number 3. I can't find it. It's in the New Testament, right? Colossians chapter number 3. Look at verse 16. It's very interesting. If you were to read Ephesians chapter 5, and we will maybe here in a moment before we close, and Colossians chapter 3, how similar they are. Colossians chapter 3 says this in verse number 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And it goes on, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit unto the Lord. And I won't read down through here, but you'll see here in a moment, and some of you already know, it's very similar to what was said in Ephesians chapter number 5, where Paul said, be filled with the Spirit of God. In Colossians, he said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. So you say, how am I going to be filled with the Spirit of God? Obeying the Word of God. Obeying the Word of God. So how am I going to be filled with the Spirit of God? Brother Dave, pray. Number two, obey. I could go on and on. I mean, we could talk about walking in the Spirit, that we not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and how that we're to allow God's Word to control and consume our lives. See, we're going to be filled with the Spirit. We got to ask. We got to ask God to fill us. We got to pray, and then we've got to obey. I think Pastor talked about that this morning a little bit. Say, Brother David, I want to be filled with the Spirit. Then you got to obey what the Word of God says. So we got to do what God says do in order to be filled with the Spirit. We're not going to be controlled or consumed by the Spirit of God when we're disobeying the Word of God. Now, I think this, I know I'm getting out on a limb here, so I'm going to be careful when I say this, because I'm not charismatic. But I think the Spirit of God will speak to you in your heart. I believe that. Some people say, oh, no, that's emotionalism. I think as long as it lines up with the Word of God, If I can clarify what the Spirit of God said in my heart with the Word of God, I'm okay. Now, when I start saying God spoke to me and told me this, but it doesn't line up with that, that ain't God. I'll give you an example. I pulled out the other day. I'm always in a hurry. How many of you are always in a hurry? The rest of y'all are liars. No, you're retired. I'm just playing. I'm just joking. I didn't mean that. You got to obey. If you're going to be Spirit-filled, you can't lie, okay? Step number one, you can't lie. You got to obey, right? Maybe I'm the one. I live in a hurry. And I pulled in Wawa's the other day and got some gas. And I was in a hurry. I was trying to get home. It was out in Charlottesville. And when I walked in, there was this guy sitting down with a backpack. He kind of looked homeless, and he was sitting there. And it was like Spirit of God. I've been thinking about this. I've been reading about Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have thee, give I unto thee, right? Peter walked up to that man, that beggar, and that stuff's running through my mind, and it was like the Holy Spirit said, go witness that, give him a gospel tract. And I've done what all of us courageous Christians do. I went on in Wawa's, and I got my cup of coffee, and I looked out the window, and I saw him out there, and I thought, woman, after I get my coffee, I'm going to go witness to it. Well, I walked out and I left. And I pulled out. And when I was pulling out, I looked over and we made eye contact. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, you coward. I don't know if the Holy Spirit ever said stuff to you like that, but that's what I felt like he said to me. You coward. And I went around the building and I pulled out on the main road out at Greenbrier. And I come up to the stoplight. There's a Wawa's right there at Greenbrier in Charlottesville. I come up to the stoplight and I'm sitting there thinking, you coward. How are you going to preach, obey the Spirit, and you won't even do it? So when the light turns green, I pull in to the Jiffy Lube right there. I make a circle, and I pull back out on the road, and I pull back in Wawa's, and I walk up to that guy, and I say, hey, man, I said, I feel like I just got to do something. I said, I seen you a minute ago. We made eye contact, and I just, you know, I want to give you something. And I give him a gospel tract. He said, did you get saved, Brother David? No, I don't think so. I don't know. But I know this. I felt good when I left there. I gave him a gospel tract. I told him that he said he needed some money. He's looking for a job. And I said, well, silver and gold have I none. I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. But I said, well, man, I'm going to give you something better than money. I said, this right here is what you need more than money. You need this right here. I said, that right there is the answer. I said, Jesus is what you need. I had a gospel tract. It's got peace on the front of it. I said, this right here, this will tell you the Bible way to get to heaven, and it'll give you something so much more precious than money will ever be. And he said, thank you. I appreciate that. God bless you. And as I was walking away, there was this woman walking up, and I think she was with him because I had seen her before, and she just looked like they were together. And she was walking up, and I said, ma'am, I'd like to give you one too. And I give her one. And I'm saying that here in a boastful way, because what I'm trying to say is, had I not been preaching or being filled with the Holy Spirit, I probably would have walked away. Because I can't tell you how many times I have. That's not acting like a Christian. There are 6 foot men in this building. That disqualifies me. But there are 6 foot men in this building that the Holy Spirit has told you to give a 115-pound woman behind the register a gospel tract, and you're afraid to do it. You know why? Because we're not filled with the Spirit. A Spirit-filled Christian is controlled by the Holy Spirit, obeys the Holy Spirit of God. And I could go on and on about being obedient to the Spirit of God, how we need to obey the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will, what the Bible talks about in John, that Jesus told, he said, I'm going to send the Comforter, and he's going to reprove the world of sin.
He's gonna show you. He's gonna teach you. He's gonna remind you of some things. He's gonna reveal some things to you. And so we have to listen to the Spirit when He speaks. Are we gonna do what God says do? Because if we're gonna fill with the Spirit, we've got to. It's essential. It's essential, because if we don't, you know what we're doing? We're filled with ourselves. We're in control. We're the one calling the shots. But when we obey the Spirit of God, what we're doing is saying, you're in control. You're in control, God. I'll do what you say do. And Pastor spoke about it this morning in his message. And it's so important that we pray. And number two, that we obey. And number three, I'll say this, that we stay away. You know, if we're going to be Spirit-filled, there's some things we just got to stay away from. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 19, it says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter number 4, you turn there, and that's where we'll get ready to close at. Ephesians chapter number 4, in verse number 30, it says, and grieve not the Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. He says, you got to, if you read in Ephesians chapter number 4, and we won't do it for sake of time, but if you were to read back, you know what he says? He says, there, you got to put off that old man. You got to put on the new man. You got to put away lying. You got to put away stealing. You got to put away corrupt communication. You got to put away that bitterness, that wrath, that anger, that evil speaking. You've got to put all those things away, and you got to put on the Holy Spirit of God. You got to put on the new man. So if we're going to be Spirit-filled, we got to pray. We got to obey. We got to stay away. Or you can say it like this. We got to ask. We got to allow. I think that's important. See, sometimes we think, we can't fill ourselves with the Spirit of God. But what we can do is allow it to happen. Allow God to control our lives. Allow God to consume our lives. Allow God to guide and to direct and to fill our lives. And so we got to ask, we got to allow, and we've got to abstain. There's some things that we just got to stay away from if we're going to be Spirit-filled. There's some things as a Christian that we cannot be involved in, because if we are, it's going to quench the Spirit of God. It's going to grieve the Spirit of God. You say, what are they, Brother David? If you're saved, he'll let you know. That's a good sign you're saved. If you're saved, the Spirit of God will tell you, you better stop looking at that. You better stop watching that. You probably ought not read that. You might not ought to say that. You might ought to go and take that back. You might ought to, you know, the Holy Spirit will let you know what you should and you shouldn't do. And then we have a choice. Are we going to obey? We're going to stay away? Or we're going to go close and do it anyway? And so being filled with the Spirit, we got to ask, we got to allow, we got to abstain. So that's the method of being Spirit-filled. Last, the marks of being Spirit-filled. Ephesians chapter number 5. I'll give these to you real quickly and we'll be done. Ephesians chapter 5, the marks of being Spirit-filled. How do I know I'm filled with the Spirit? Well, number one, verse number 19, verse 18, he said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The same way that that wine controls and consumes that drunk, he said, let the Spirit of God control and consume you. Now, I grew up, and some of you may have as well, I grew up around drunkenness. And I'll tell you this, one thing about a drunk, a real drunk, is they're not in control. The alcohol is. They think they are, but a real drunk, he's not in control. The alcohol's in control. The alcohol tells him how to think. The alcohol tells him how to talk. The alcohol tells him how to act. The alcohol is in control. And God says, Paul says, the way that that drunk is controlled by that substance, you ought to be controlled by the Spirit. It ought to be telling you how to talk. It ought to be telling you how to act. It ought to be telling you what to do and what not to do. And when we're filled with the Spirit, verse 19 says this, here's a mark of being Spirit-filled. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And he goes on and says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You say, what's a mark of a Spirit-filled Christian? Singing. You're speaking. what you say. He says, speaking to yourselves. I cross-reference that to Colossians chapter number 3, and I don't think it necessarily means speaking to yourself. Though I do think you could be speaking to yourself because it talks about in your heart. You could be speaking to yourself. I know we all do that sometimes, but I think it could mean speaking to yourselves amongst one another, because in Colossians chapter 3, he said, teaching one another, admonishing one another. We saw those are cross references there. So when you're a spirit-filled Christian, a mark of a spirit-filled Christian is how we speak to other people, what we speak about and how we sing. Do you have a song in your heart? See, I can look around the auditorium, and I'm not being mean. I can look around the auditorium when I'm standing up here on the platform, and I can tell you who's spirit-filled and who's not. And as Pastor said this morning, I'm not being mean. Please don't take that as mean. I'm being honest. I've been there. You say, well, Brother David, I can't sing. Welcome to the club. I can't either. But I'll tell you this, when I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I can't help not to sing. I can't sing, but I can't help not to sing. It's like them disciples told them, they said, we can't help but speak of Jesus. When you're filled with the Spirit, whether you can sing or you can't sing, you can't help but sing because you got a song in your heart. And I think some people's lost their song. The children of Israel said, we've hung our harps on the willow trees. You know what happened? They lost their song. Can I ask you tonight, is there a Christian that's lost their song? You want to get your song back? Be Spirit-filled. Ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Allow God to fill you with His Spirit. Obey God and abstain and stay away from those things that are grieving and quenching the Spirit of God in your life. What God will do, He'll give you your song back. You'll be able to open up the hymn and sing the songs. You'll be able to say amen. You'll be able to lift your hand and shout the victory. I'm telling you, Sunday night I knew what I was preaching, and I was sitting over here thinking, I want to preach on being Spirit-filled, but I'm getting to experience being Spirit-filled, because last Sunday night, you know what was going on? There were some Christians that were Spirit-filled, and they were singing, and they were admonishing, and they were speaking to one another about the Word of God and about the goodness of God. And that is an evidence, that is a mark of a Spirit-filled Christian. They're singing, they're speaking. I'll tell you this, another evidence of it is their satisfaction. Look at verse number 20. A lot of people, if you read commentaries, a lot of people say that this means being thankful or grateful. And I'm not saying it doesn't, but I think it means a little more than that. Look at what it says in verse 20. It says, giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the mark of a Spirit-filled Christian is? They're satisfied. They're satisfied. They're thankful for all things. If I'm honest with you, I'm not thankful for all things always. You know why? Because I'm not always filled with the Spirit. But a Spirit-filled Christian, they're thankful always. I'll give you an example. We're talking about the book of Acts. We won't turn there, but Acts chapter number 16, I think it is. Acts chapter 16. Remember where Paul and Barnabas were? Was it Paul and Barnabas? No, it was Paul and Silas. Thank you. I got to sing the song. Y'all don't know the Paul and Silas song? Y'all missing out if you don't. That's one of them old hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs right there, right? Man, I'm wanting to sing it, but I ain't going to. I just heard that song. You remember when the eyes are blind to see? Oh man. Anyway, but listen, they were in prison. I got to get back to my message, right? They were in prison, but you know what they were doing? They were singing. They were praying. They were praising God because they were Spirit-filled, and Paul was thankful for all things. The Apostle Paul was sitting in prison when he wrote many of the epistles in the New Testament. And you know what he was doing? He was thanking God. He was praising God. He was glorifying God, and he was not complaining and grumbling and moping. Why? Because he was Spirit-filled. I think about Paul when he stood before, was it Agrippa or Festus? I think I wrote it down here. He stood before one of them in Acts chapter number 26. I can't remember which one it was, but in verse number 2, he said, I think myself happy. He said, I'm standing here with chains. I'm getting ready to go to Rome and I'm going to lose my head. But you know what? I think myself happy. Why, Paul? Because he was Spirit-filled. Satisfied. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You want to know how you can live a satisfied Christian life? Being Spirit-filled. You can thank God for all things when you're filled with the Spirit. Satisfied. Number 3, Number one, singing. Number two, satisfaction. Number three, submission. Acts chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. See, you know a mark of a spirit-filled Christian. I won't turn there, but we can look in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5. You know one of the things of that early church? It says that they had all things common. You know what Paul said in Philippians? I believe it's in Philippians. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right? He said, let every man think on others and not himself, right? That's what submission is. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God. You know what that's saying? That's saying, God, I'm gonna humble myself, and I'm going to prefer others above myself and before myself. I tell you, it takes the Spirit of God to do that. Our nature is me. Me, me, me. Somebody says something to me, I'm going to get mad. Somebody does something to me, I'm going to respond. Somebody hurts me, I'm going to retaliate. You know what a spirit-filled Christian does? Submits. Now, I don't mean, don't get me wrong here. I'm not talking about some husband going home and submitting to his wife and saying, I'm just spirit-filled. Or submitting to your children. I'm just filled with the Spirit. I'm going to let them tell me what to do. No, then you're disobeying. Then you're back at obey. You disobeyed the Word of God. But it's talking about submitting yourselves one another, saying, you know what? It's not all about me. I don't have to have my way. A Spirit-filled Christian is not all about their self. A flesh-filled Christian is all about themselves. It's all about me. What's in it for me? I want to get my way. A Spirit-filled Christian says, it's not about me. It's about God. It's about preferring others above myself. It's putting others in front of myself. That's a Spirit-filled Christian. Submission. So number one, singing, speaking. Number two, satisfaction. Number three, submission. Can I ask you tonight, are you Spirit-filled? I don't know about you, but man, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want God to control my life. Because I've controlled my life enough to know that when I'm in control, things don't work out real good. But when God's in control, everything works out great. Be filled with the Spirit. See, we're not going to, from this point forward, we're going to look at some things these Christians done, and I believe this is foundational. We'll never stand firm the way we're supposed to unless we're Spirit-filled. And so, that's my challenge to you tonight. Be Spirit-filled. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm gonna have Pastor Brandon come. He's going to be doing the Lord's table tonight. And so, men, you can make your way forward as well.